As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if you've heard the one about the bride preparing for her wedding. She was anxious that she might forget what order things were going to happen in during the service, particularly at the beginning of the service when she thought she might be in a bit of a daze with all the business of having got a dress on and her makeup done and her hair and arriving in the car and all that kind of stuff. So she talked to the vicar about this, and she calmed her down and told her that it would be easy to remember. The bride would arrive, walk up the aisle to the altar, and then everybody would stand and sing the first hymn. Nice and simple, no problem, nothing to be worried about. So the great day dawns, and the guests are seated, and the bridegroom is waiting nervously for his blushing bride, who arrives with her bridesmaids in their vintage car. The organist strikes up the wedding march, and the bride enters the church, and she walks up to meet her future husband, and as she does, she's heard her mutter under her breath, "I'll alter him. I'll alter him. I'll alter him." As I said, this morning we are continuing to explore our church's value of loving our neighbours. And in previous weeks we thought about this in terms of welcome and hospitality. And this morning we're looking at being accepting. And this slightly corny joke illustrates for me some of the tensions around this idea of being accepting. You see, if that were a real couple getting married, we would rightly be concerned about the health of their relationship if one of them is going to the marriage with the fixed idea of changing the other one to suit them more. That's not a great start, is it? Doesn't accept them as they are. On the other hand, no one's perfect. And if neither partner is going into a relationship with any willingness to change their behaviour as the relationship goes on, then that's not likely to survive either, to be perfectly honest. And at the far end of the spectrum, there are, of course, some behaviours that are completely unacceptable within a relationship or a marriage that should not be accepted. So, when we're thinking about loving our neighbours, those specific people that I encouraged us to identify last week, what does it mean to be accepting? How do we show accepting love to those neighbours that we disagree with, politically, about the need to wear masks, about expressions of human sexuality, about Brexit, about when loud music should be switched off on the other side of the party wall? Is it possible to love someone and accept them? And what do we do with those behaviours that we don't agree with, that we find difficult when we're accepting somebody? You see the kind of tension we have in our minds and our hearts about this. With those questions buzzing in our thoughts, let's turn to Scripture. Let's see what Jesus and the Holy Spirit show us about being accepting. So firstly, Jesus. Last week, those of you who were around, we had a spoof video of Come Dine With Me to help us explore what real hospitality looks like. And this week, we see Jesus caught in a nightmare dinner party. He's been invited to dinner, but the way that he's been treated by his host wasn't welcoming, didn't show any hospitality, and really wasn't very accepting. You see, roads and paths in Judea at that time, they were dusty and dirty, it was hot, and it was just common courtesy to provide foot washing facilities for guests on their arrival at your house. And even that basic decency had been neglected when Jesus arrived for this meal. But as the meal went on, a woman stood behind Jesus and she started weeping, and she poured perfume on those dirty, mucky, sweaty feet and began wiping them with her hair. This isn't just a story, it's not just a cartoon. Just imagine wiping someone's dirty feet with your long hair. Only one kind of woman wore their hair down in that culture. And Jesus confirms this with his description of her as a woman who lived a sinful life. And the religious leader, the Pharisee, is scandalized and mutters to himself, mutter, mutter, mutter. And Jesus discerns this and challenges him with his question about forgiveness and love. You see, Jesus turns the expectations of the prevailing culture on its head. The Pharisee, for all his religious purity and religious knowledge, is far from acceptable to God, for he loves little and has not accepted or welcomed Jesus. And the woman, for all her life of sin, is acceptable to God because of her repentance, her great love, and her heartfelt acceptance of Jesus. And the thing is, Jesus' acceptance of this woman's love doesn't pretend that her sin doesn't matter. Her own grief over it shows that she knows it matters. But he accepts her as a person and offers her forgiveness, freedom from the guilt and the shame associated with that sin. He sees her faith and accepts its reality and releases her into peace. So in this story, we see one way in which Jesus accepts someone. But what about the Holy Spirit? So let's jump forward to Luke's second book, to the book of Acts, which Sheila read for us. All the way through the accounts of the early church, all the way through Acts, and in the letters that were sent from church leaders to churches in the New Testament, there is another ongoing tension. You see, Jesus was Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. And during his ministry, Jesus had, for the vast majority of the time, worked amongst Jewish people, with the occasional trip to Samaria, where an offshoot of the Jewish people lived. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Jewish law and prophets. And just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus commissioned his followers to take his good news to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit equipped the disciples to speak in other languages, undoing the curse of Babel. And suddenly there were a whole load of people who weren't Jewish coming to believe in Jesus. And as we read through Acts, there are more and more of these Gentile believers. And that led to some big questions. Do they have to become Jews to become Christians? Do the men have to be circumcised? Do they all have to follow all the Jewish law? And these questions split the church for years. What did it mean to accept Gentiles into the fellowship of believers in Jesus? That was the big question. Now, sometime before our reading this morning, Peter had a vision of a sheet being lowered down from heaven containing animals that it was forbidden to eat under Jewish law. And a voice from heaven had told him to get up and kill and eat. And Peter had gone, no. I've never eaten anything that isn't kosher. I'm not going to do this. Now the voice again calls from heaven and says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And immediately following this, Peter is invited to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And he goes and he shares the good news of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit falls on everybody in the house, everybody listening, and brings them to faith in Jesus. And the Apostle Paul and his mission team had similar experiences all the way around the places they went. They went and told Gentiles about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came and worked in their hearts. And so everybody got together for this big council meeting in Jerusalem, where this question was going to be decided. And there was much debate to and fro. And in the end, Peter stands up and he says, this is this speech that we read a part of this morning. And this, seems to me, is the key verse in that whole speech. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. It seems from this then that the presence of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life, bringing repentance and faith, is a sign of God's acceptance of them. And see again that there is this dual dynamic going on in God's acceptance. The person is accepted, but the sin is not. That needs to be repented of. And that is good news for all of us. Because as I said earlier, none of us is perfect. Every one of us has things that we do, things that we think that are not acceptable to God or accepted by God. We each have flaws in our characters, besetting sins that God does not accept. But for all that, God does accept us, welcome us, create space for us as we come to God in repentance and love. God loves us as we are and loves us too much to leave us as we are. So, if this is how God accepts people, how God accepts us through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, what does that say to us about what it means to love our neighbours, those around us, by accepting them? It seems to me that the core of this is love. You see, God loves our neighbours as they are. If they were to come to God as they are, God would welcome, embrace, and accept them as they are. And we are called to do the same. They might drive us nuts. We might disagree with them. They may even cause us pain and distress. But God loves them as they are. And so we are called to love them as they are. It seems to me that as we do that, as we open our hearts with that acceptance, if they then come to us, our hearts are in a place where we can offer them forgiveness and love and space as God does. And that doesn't mean we should be doormats. It doesn't mean we should never challenge behavior, particularly if it is causing pain and distress and it's just unneighborly. But it does mean that I think that when we do so, we're called to do it in a way that has grace and generosity, that gives them a graceful space to find a graceful way out. Don't back people into corners. Now, none of this is easy. But actually, in my experience, real love isn't usually easy. Real love is a lifelong work of the will, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.